from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the Word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's first reading, St. Paul continues what he's been saying to the Corinthians to try to help them live by God's wisdom. And he said very pointedly, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God." And we see that foolishness on full display in the gospel. How wise it is to follow that foolishness. After Jesus had hijacked Peter's boat for a pulpit, when the crowds were pressing in, and the wind that would come over the Sea of Galilee would be a natural amplifier, Jesus, knowing how fatigued Simon was, having pulled an all-nighter, seeing how discouraged he was, that he had caught nothing, and wanting to teach him in an unforgettable way how to trust in him in the apostolate he had been chosen for from before the foundation of the world, he said something totally foolish to a fisherman in the Sea of Galilee. "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." Every fisherman on the Sea of Galilee knew that you caught fish there at nighttime in shallow water. Jesus was saying exactly the opposite. "Go into the deep water." The Sea of Galilee is 150 feet deep. "And lower your nets for a catch." Peter was really frustrated, exhausted, ready to crash. He was too masculine to weep, but he would have been terribly crushed after failing all night to catch a single fish. But because of who was asking, because of what he had heard him just say from his boat, because he spoke with an authority unlike others, even after his nets were washed, he put out into the deep and caught such a 2-boatload haul that it immediately provoked his sense of unworthiness, dropping before the Lord and saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." But the Lord said, despite his sinfulness and the Lord's own divine foolishness, he was calling Peter for a much bigger haul, where all the boats of the world wouldn't be able to contain what he would catch. God's wisdom, human wisdom. St. Paul has been teaching us through the letter of the Corinthians that even though God's wisdom is folly to the nations, it really is the path. God chooses the weak of the world to shame the strong. He chooses the nobodies to reduce to nothing those who think that they're something. He doesn't raid the rabbinical schools, he raids the wharves. He doesn't get the Blessed Virgin Mary and build his church on her. How fitting that would have been. He chooses a person whose first words were a confession and built his church on him. God's ways are not our ways. But the whole Christian life is for us to get to think as God thinks and then to act on that wisdom. How hard that is. Truly to live by God's wisdom, to be considered fools for Christ's sake, to recognize that the one who calls us was considered out of his mind, even by his family members, his cousins. To follow Christ is to do things in the world that are absolutely foolish. Just take the Beatitudes. Worldly wisdom says you need to be rich to be happy. Jesus says you need to be poor in spirit. Worldly wisdom says you need to be strong. You need to finish fights that others start. Jesus' wisdom says you need to be weak. Sorry, you need to be meek, exactly the opposite, and a peacemaker. Worldly wisdom says you have to have all your pleasures fulfilled. Can't repress through chastity your natural urges. As Jesus says, you have to be pure in heart. The world says you've got it made when you don't have a care in the world. Jesus says you got it made when you're practically starving and panting for holiness. Worldly gurus say you're great when everybody loves you. And Jesus says, you'll be happy when, because of your communion with me, people hate your guts, revile you, and utter every kind of evil against you falsely. To live by Jesus' wisdom is to be willing to do things that the world thinks foolish, because we know he's asking. So that's why we give up so many good things in the world in order to purchase what the world doesn't really value, but what we recognize is the pearl of great price, so much richer than anything and everything that the world can give. Today the Church celebrates the greatest Pope who ever lived. We've had so many good ones. We prayed at the beginning of Mass that we might be filled, and especially church leaders might be filled, but we've all got leadership roles. That's why we're all baptized into the munus regendi of Christ. We govern ourselves, we govern others. So many others depend on our leadership, that we might be filled with spiritual wisdom, that we might be filled with the mind of God. And Gregory was. But he was considered foolish according to the ways of the world. Gregory, in his early 30s, was prefect of Rome, essentially mayor. And Rome had already suffered 3 sackings. The place was really devastated and totally chaotic. Would have been as if Rome had had Mayor de Blasio for a century as the mayor. That's how bad it was. And he came in his young 30s, and he totally fixed it. He could have stayed forever. Approval ratings that were over 100% if there were polls in the time. And yet, with it all, decided to say goodbye, that God was calling him to join this new way of life that St. Benedict had just founded. And he formed the first Benedictine convent right there in the heart of Rome. You don't have to run away to Subiaco or go up to Norcia. Right there, across from the Palatine Hill, right next to the ruins of the Colosseum, he was going to found something to do a way more important work, literally what Benedict called the Opus Dei, a work of prayer that overflows into study, into daily labor. He was considered nuts. Why would somebody leave it all? You know, just think about it for a second. I mean, every once in a while it happens when somebody leaves a professional sports career to enter religious life or the seminary. People can't believe it. Just think of a president of the United States all of a sudden resigns his office because he wants to become a Benedictine or Franciscan. Or one day we will have a female president of the United States, a Sister of Life. It turns the world right side up, in a sense, but the world doesn't understand it. And so that Gregory did, and a whole bunch of people formed themselves around him so that they might be schooled in the wisdom of God. But the Pope recognized who he had, an incredible genius, very practical, and he asked him to leave the monastery and to go as his apocrisarius to Constantinople, his legate, his nuncio, his ambassador. Even though he really didn't speak Greek, he recognized that Gregory was the man. And so Gregory, wisely obedient to what God was asking, said yes. But he said, I'm going to have to bring some of my monks with me, Holiness, so that I can continue this aspect of growth and wisdom at the same time that I'm serving you in the church. So he brought his monks with him. After several years, he was brought back. And when Pope Paschal II died, Gregory, though a deacon, was elected the successor of St. Peter. He reigned for 14 years, one sickness after another. He was not healthy. But he was indefatigable at the same time as he really served. He tried to pass on God's wisdom to lay people with his famous dialogues, teaching them through stories about the real lessons about how God wants us to love him. So many pastoral letters to priests, teaching the art of being good and holy and how to really guide their people. Very famously, I read it on my retreat a month ago, his pastoral rule for bishops, just the practical wisdom that's there, especially about guiding people in the way of holiness and admonishing them, as a good pastor should, any time they are veering. God's wisdom was something that guided him, not just personally, but that he overflowed with it for the church, such that 1,400 years later, that wisdom continues to lead. One of the reasons why he's considered perhaps the greatest Latin father of the church, perhaps after Thomas and Augustine, greatest Latin doctor. Because it wasn't just about theological insights, but about taking that theology and making it truly practical. Today we pray that we might be filled with that spiritual wisdom for the whole good of the journey, so that we, like him, can help others to become lunatics for the Lord. And the greatest of all Catholic foolishness is what we do each morning. We believe, contrary to worldly empiricists, contrary even to the doubts of so many Catholics, that this is the most important thing that has ever happened in the history of the world. That we enter in time into the eternal sacrifice that began in the upper room, culminated on Calvary, and then was punctuated with the resurrection. That this little host we're about to receive is the Creator of the world, the one who calls us just as much as he called Simon, son of John, to go out as his crazy fisherman into the deep.